हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावनीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः त्वं जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे.
Okay, so chapter 35, the neutral love of God. Text 3, 1, 24 to 26. Anubhava, so this will be of the Shantavasa. Staring at the tip of the nose, behaving like a renunciate, walking while looking 4 meters in front on the ground, showing the Dhyana Mudra, joining the thumb and forefinger together, absence of hatred even before the enemies of the Lord, lack of intense attachment to the devotees of the Lord. Right, so they don't have hatred towards the enemies, and they don't have intense attachment to their devotees. So that's the whole point. They're just in this pleasant neutral state, showing great regard for the final destruction of material bondage, siddhata, and for living without the influence of the gross and subtle bodies. Indifference, non-possessiveness, lack of false ego, and silence are some of the special anubhavas of a person with Shanta Ras. Srila Prabhupada. There are certain symptoms of great sages who are situated in Shanta Ras devotional service, and these symptoms are exhibited as follows. They concentrate their eyesight on the tip of the nose, and they behave just like an avadhuta. Avadhuta means a highly elevated mystic who does not care for any social, religious, or Vedic conventions. Another, it's not that they're going against, it's just that they're just absorbing themselves in the meditation, what works for that, that's what they follow. So, this idea that they don't care for any conventions, so therefore I do whatever I like. No, it's that they don't follow any conventions, they just follow what is the path of that particular connection to Krishna. So, another symptom is that such persons are very careful to step forward when giving speeches. When they speak, they join together the forefinger and the thumb. It's called the Jnana Mudra position. Like you see on the Back to Godhead, there's that picture of Prabhupada sitting. He's wearing that special... It's a... what do you call it? It's like a cape. It's not a poncho, because poncho is square, and the eyesight's are open. Cape is it's closed around. It has a place for the head, but it also has a hood. So if you look there, you just see it's closed. It looks like a chudder, but there's that hood. So someone made that for it, and Prabhupada wore it for some. That picture was taken, and while he's sitting there, he's using the Jnana Mudra. So he's making a point. So when you make the point, you use this, and then when somebody wants to say something, commenting on that means that they're thinking, no, you should look at it differently. The opposition, and they speak like this. Like I'm making the point, and then they speak like this, so that you know what people are doing, like that. So then they use that Jnana Mudra. It's just a natural part of their, behavior. They are not against the atheists, nor are they particularly inclined to the devotees. Such persons give stress, particularly inclined. It means that they deal nicely with everybody, so they don't ignore the devotees. They deal with them also very nicely. Such persons give stress to liberation and detachment from the materialistic way of life. They are always neutral and have no affection nor misidentification with anything material. They are always grave, but fully absorbed in thoughts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These uncommon features develop in devotees who are situated in Shantaras. So that's why you see that the Jnanis and the Shantaras, that they position, the point is where they're situated on the spiritual platform is the same place. The difference is that the jnanis, then they don't know about bhakti, so the karana sharira hasn't been destroyed. So if they do get interested in action and all that, they'll come back into the material world. So they don't see beyond the neutral point of the spiritual. While the shantaras, then they, the karana sharira has been destroyed, they see his devotional service to Krishna. So they see all this spiritual platform in context of Krishna. They never see it on its own. But the practices you'll see will be the same. So that's why you see is that you can have all these great sages, and whether they are devotees or not, these liberated souls, they all basically follow the same culture and deal with each other in the same, you know, proper way. Is that so? Yeah, so that's why it was inappropriate, we see, for Rama Harshana Sutta, because he had that pride, which you don't see as any, it's not an honor bhava. And so that's why that Balaram understood he was unqualified. Is this good of us? Yeah, yes.
Maharaj, one of these anubhavas which is not having like intense attachment to devotees, sometimes we come across devotees who propagate that one should be within the devotee circle and having the intense attachment, relation, and more deeper going.
Because they're not shantaras.
Yes. But the thing is, like, when people see from neophyte position, then both appear different. So is it that then we are like focusing more on describing the attachment of Lord, that's where the both conclude, or
the point is that the position of seeing all living entities equal, all living entities means whether a devotee is not devotees, whether the human or animals or demigods or demons, they see all living entities equally. That's the common point that's there. So they're living that. But the devotees, they have that, and then there's that special attachment to the devotees. Like you see, Krishna has that special affection for the, he's equal, but he gives that special affection for the devotees. So that's part of his pastimes. So that's the specialness that's there. So we see these higher rasas, they will do that also. Because this is just that neutrality. In other words, you're appreciating the spiritual position of you know, the reality of what things are and who is like that. And so they're seeing in the real, they're situated in Shuddha-Shattva. And so they see things as they are. And so they appreciate all the rasa and everything else. But the focus is on the one particular aspect. And like we were saying before, is that the form of the Lord is their specific focus. It's not that the qualities, pastimes are not appreciated, but it's focused on the position of the form. Is that?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's just a specific focus. So it is the spiritual platform. And then they have that transcendental taste.
Yes.
But they're not absorbed in the pastimes and activities, means and being involved in those transcendental pastimes. But they appreciate it. So they're on the positive side of neutrality.
Yes.
So they're within devotion. While the impersonalists are on the negative side of neutrality. Does that make sense?
So that means that because they don't have possessiveness on Lord, that's reflected that they don't have possessiveness towards any devotees also.
Right? Yes. Yes, very good. Does that make sense? So that's why it's there, because there's no possessiveness on the Lord. So then. But you see, they have that spiritual aspect that the jnani may be situated in Shuddha-Shattva. And you may see the Lord in the form of the pastimes, but it's just Brahman to him. So it's not something special, so there's no devotion. That appreciation is no more than anything else. Well, with the devotee, the Shantabhakta, then he'll have that appreciation of the Lord. And that way it's situated. So that's why the two will look very similar. Just like a cook cooking for Krishna and a cook not cooking for Krishna, the technique, everything looks the same because the situation is the same. They're situated in the cook kitchen, they're using the cooking process. So the jnani and the shantabhakta are using the position of jnana or of you know, liberation and knowledge as their platform. One is in context of Krishna, and one it's not. You know, it means Krishna can be part of it. The impersonalist, because technically in we deal with the Maya bodies as if they're impersonalists, but technically they're Buddhists. So they're not on that platform. They'll never be on that platform. You know, so they can get a little bit detached and everything like that, and attain some kind of position. But you see, is that it never gets to, like, have you ever seen? I mean, you've seen the. Sometimes you go into the temples and they have the what do you call it? The eight arhats, is it? You know the arhats, they're great sages. Sometimes you see when you go into the temple, and they're all sitting around like that, you know, all on the top like that. They're all doing weird things. One's taking a stick, sticking it in his ear, you know, like that, you know, because it is all this and that, and he does that, you know, I don't know if he killed himself or whatever it is. So they're all doing something weird, yeah, all that, you know, faces fighting, this, that, and so it's always extreme emotion like that. So, you know, that's as good as it gets on the Buddhist platform. So they won't attain to that same kind of peacefulness and everything. So the impersonalists, then they'll be completely neutral. But the point is that unless they take up devotional service, they'll fall back this side. So you see Sukadev Goswami, when he's acting on the Madhyama platform and he's speaking and doing all these things and considering everybody's nature and all that, then you see him, then, you know, we have Bhagavatam. But otherwise, we saw before that, then all these aspects here, he's just walking along and not caring for anything. He doesn't care for any social convention. So, yeah. So it's a unique position in that they're devotees, but they're situated on this platform. They're basically, you could say they're situated on the spiritual platform with the transcendental taste. Right? So, but you see above that, they're situated on the spiritual platform, but they're involved in the transcendental activities. They're not as such. Does that make sense? You know, I mean the regular hearing, chanting, those kind of things like that.
But it's interesting that despite their neutral position of disregard for personal service, they can't do without rituals. And ritual is an aspect of personal exchange. It's just that it's just blind ritual. I mean, every impersonal denomination, they all have rituals.
Yes, yes. Oh, you're talking on this side,
yeah.
Not the Shantaras. No. Oh, no, they have to, because it means the conditioned living entity can't function without ritual, without religion. Yeah. So either you follow religion or you make one up. Like, let's say the devotees, they don't follow our religion, which is Varnashram. So they'll make up religion. You know, what is the standard, how to behave, how you behave in a meeting, how you meet people, how you deal, what you eat, how you eat it. All those things, there's all standard rules for it that are within Varnashram and within the Pancharatra and within the Vaishnava tradition. But those, unless they match with their particular religious view, it doesn't. So they've created their own religion. You know, it's kind of like, you would say, you know, just like Dharavesh is a combination of Vaishnavism with the Islam, you know, with the Sufi. Like this, so this is, yeah, so all the Apasampradayas, they're all Vaishnavism mixed with something, like that. Mm-hmm. Sahajiyas, it's Vaishnavism mixed with Sahajiyan Buddhism, like this. So basically, if you take a Protestant and then mix that with Vaishnavism, then you get what devotees follow. Because you know? Their lifestyle, you can't really tell the difference between that and a Westerner. Except the pictures on the wall are about Krishna, you know, like that. The facade's vegetarian or vegan or, you know, something, you know. So the difficulty is that they haven't accepted the religion. So, so they'll make their own up. They're thinking, oh, we're being beyond all this, but no, they say, oh, we're a chant, we don't care for the rules, but they'll make up their own rules exactly. And then in the meeting, you say something, and then it's not acceptable in their religious context. All of them will react in the same way. Oh, how can you say that? When in another context outside of their religious view, even in the material world, it's a perfectly fine thing to say. Right. You know, so that's it. And so they just pick and choose what they want, and somehow or another it becomes popular. Someone, you know, makes up some philosophical points to support it, and everybody goes with it, and in Hari Bal. That's the beauty of the holy name. Even if you're not following Varnashram, So even if you're not human, it still works. That's the beauty of it. So then in that way, the Vaishnava, by chanting and by accepting the philosophy, accepting the eternal form of the Lord. But culturally then, you know, it's subhuman. It doesn't work very well. It's not very scientific. I mean, though they hope, you know, they kind of hope they'll be perceived as scientific and broad-minded and thoughtful and analytical and all that, but it's very unscientific. Because you don't know who does what, when, where, why, at any point it could be. It means like at any time they can come in, micromanage anything, but they have zero responsibility and they don't let you manage it, but you're totally responsible. I mean, where in the material world does anybody that's successful do that? Nobody. Absolutely nobody. You know, probably if you would go up north, even the Inuits wouldn't do that. You know? Like that. You know? So, point is nobody does it in the material world. But we do it. You know, that's our religion. So when you have the religion of education, then it has to be modern, you know, like that. If you're using administration, then it has to be this form, you know. So it is, you know, like that. So there's all these, you know. And business, it depends upon whether you're the businessman or you're the administrator. If you're the businessman, you do all whatever you need to do to make money, you know, and because, you know, it should trump anything else. You know, if you're making money off of it, then it'll adjust even the program. You know, life members come up and bathe the deity when they shouldn't because you can get money from them. You know, or if you look at it from the administrative point of view, is that whatever the devotee makes gross, he should give 50%. You know, so they have no idea of business. It's just that Prabhupada said 50%, I want my 50%. Even though Prabhupada's probably got 50% of profit, but they just take it, no, this much came in, you get 50% of that. That's before paying your bills. So you don't even have enough to pay the bills. And so therefore no businessman works with any administrator in any temple. So like this, we have our own ideas. We don't go by the eternal position. So the idea is that therefore you have to, why make up your own religion? It's already been established. Krishna establishes religion. So we say we're making our own up, but it'll be done by the modes. So Krishna establishes religion. So then this Protestant concept, that's coming from Krishna. You know, you don't want to follow authority. You want to say you're religious. You know, you want to function on the platform that all others are on, the Pranamoy and the Artha platform of Artha. But at the same time, you don't want to follow authority. That's the Protestant. If you follow authority, that'll be the Catholic, that'll be the Orthodox, the Oriental, the Judaic, you know, even the Islam, like that, they'll accept authority. You know, and so then it's a different level. They accept authority, so it's actually a higher position. But this is but then it fits because of the ritual fits into a particular group as a particular taste. So to make it more broad, so it's better for economics, you can access a wider range, then you just remove all this aspect of authorities and culture and everything. So then it's just a matter of whatever you do, you pick friends that do the same thing. So it's like the Vaishnava, you swajati, but it's not based on the transcendental. It's based on the political correct. So it says, yes, you'll see it. They get totally, just like Buddhism, I think it's mentioned that Buddhism within the lifetime of Buddha was already destroyed. Others, it took some generations. Like, you know, I say, the Christianity, it took 50 years, you know, Paul. Paul comes along, then he destroyed Christianity as a religion. Philosophy, yes, but religion was gone. So then, you know, but Buddhism, within the lifetime of Buddha, was already destroyed. You know, which was fine, because the point was that he was only trying to bewilder them and take them away from. So they need a religion. Who's going to be able to function? Because actual Buddhism means you are doing your meditation at a certain time around noon. You go out and beg. Whatever you get, that's what you eat. And then the rest of the day, you're in meditation. That's all they do. They don't do anything. So therefore, having the temples and the stupas and the rituals and all the, you know, chanting of mantras, that Those, that's all made up. So it's not actually Buddhism. You know, and then they'll fight over which rituals. So you have Hinayan, Mahayan, Terayan, you know, Sahajayan, you have all these different, you know.
Pure Land Buddhism.
Pure Land.
Pure Land.
Pure Land.
Pure Land, yeah.
Okay. Do they have the Pali name for it, or?
Well, I'm not sure, but Pure Land Buddhism was established by King Ashok.
Oh, King Ashok, okay.
And guess where the headquarters of Pure Land Buddhism was? It was Mathura.
Oh, okay.
And then from there went to Afghanistan.
Oh, okay.
But Pure Land Buddhism means you go to a certain heaven where you meet Buddha and you get perfect, you get trained, you get perfection, but then you're on a mission, you've got to come back down to save other people.
Okay.
And all you have to do is just chant. All the time, chant.
Do they actually use beads, or they use those little these ones?
No.
That's the Tibetan one.
They have beads, or they have clickers.
Okay. Yeah, I noticed when we were looking for these clickers, when you go online, and you know, Alibaba is the, you know, of course it's got to be Alibaba, and it's either advertised as Buddhist chanting clickers, you know, counters, or as Islamic chanting clickers. So somehow the Islams, they use these also. They chant. I don't know.
Yeah,
why
instead of 33 beads, then they chant 99 names of Allah.
Oh, but is that what they're doing?
Yeah, but instead, well, you, those who do, but others, they use them just like 40 beads. They just
play
with them.
Oh, okay.
But otherwise, they do have their own mala.
Okay.
But to carry it, you know, like for us also, you know, so they just take.
Okay, because I was in the airport, I think it was in Dubai or something, and the lady that was at the security there, I noticed on her finger she had one clicker, like that, but without the light.
She works only day.
Yes, only chanting. Yeah, so religion has to be there. So that's why we're very, very careful to follow the footsteps of the previous acharyas, so that we accept the religion that they give. Otherwise, then when we start to pick and choose, oh, no, you can't do that, it's Kali Yuga, oh, we're Westerners, oh, this and that, then you make up your own religion. So then what's the religion? You know, so then the official dress becomes, how you say, flip-flops, cargo shorts, and a t-shirt. You know, depending on the weather, it can be either short sleeved or no sleeves. Yes, and a baseball hat. You know, generally worn forward unless you're younger and more cool, then you wear it backwards. But then you're wearing that not because you're, you know, how you say, identifying in this religion. So that's very important. That's why then it's given, because the religion is there. You follow a particular, you accept a particular modes, it will take you down that path. So there's always the idea that I'm independent doing what I like, but that's Maya's cleverness. Maya controls everyone by getting them to do exactly what is that path, but they think that I am independent, I'm doing what I want. Because yes, you independently chose to go down that path, but the path, you know, if I decide, do I walk this street or that street? I'm walking this street. But when you walk that street, you can't decide what's on the street. It's not that when you walk down the street every time the shops are different, the color of the houses are different, you know, the architecture is different. You know, it's set, that street's set. And the farther down you go, that's how it works. So it doesn't change. So yes, when the impersonals they take up, they make up their own. The karmis they make up, they follow their own. So it's all the modes of nature. You have to have religion. You know, it's just like we're joking. Have the biker clubs, you know, like this, and these bikies, and they've had a rule that their initiation ceremony that, you know, then they pour beer all over you or something like that. And then the pants you're wearing, you can't wash them for a year. So they have rules. They have their religion. You know? Does that make sense? You know, they have to have their Fu Manchu mustache. They couldn't have, you know, an Abraham Lincoln beard, you know, the beard without the mustache or something, or, you know, like that. You have to have the Fu Manchu one. that makes sense. You know, you couldn't have that super thin Bengali mustache, you know, one centimeter along your upper lip, you know, like that. You know, so they have their own religion. You know. No?
Yes, during the quarantine, then, the head of Israeli, you know, rabbis, they discussed for almost 2 months how you wear the mask. You start from this year or that? Okay.
And that was just on how you wear it. That what is the mask? No, that's there.
I mean, that's the next level.
They still, I mean, that I know of, at least my rabbi was telling me, is that they still argue over what kind of underwear is bona fide. You know, which company you'd wear, which cut, which color.
Kosher, no kosher.
Yeah, which you know, what material, you know, all that.
It's important.
Yeah.
You go to Mikre, you gotta look normal.
We saw the whole thing, we just wear copens. Okay. Is that we're good?
Yeah.
So that's the whole thing. They'll always make up, and then because that they've made up their religion, that defines them. Then anybody whose their religious process is different is opposed to them or different from them or can't accommodate. So then all these different groups, they can't relate with each other, just like the world religions, they don't necessarily relate with each other. But the point is this common, the God is a common position. Even though he's impersonal, still God's the common position. So on that, it's all the same. Trying to attain to that God consciousness is all the same. So in that way, just yes, in your area, you're doing it this way and that way. Just like different cuisines. In France, they'll cook one way. In Italy, they'll cook another way. In England, they call it cooking. You know, and all these different things. So you have that. But if you understand the principle of cooking, you can appreciate all the different things of what they're trying to obtain. Like that. So that's the difficulty, is that they only have religion. They don't actually understand the philosophy. So that's the problem. So, yes.
Another thing is that Rupa Goswami mentions Sarvapadi Vinir Muktam, and discussing this point with devotees, they actually say, we changed our padis, which is true, but as Jagannanda Pandit describes in Prema Vivarta, he says that neophytes, their practice is Aropa and Sangha Siddha Bhakti. They can practice Surup Siddha Bhakti. So in neophyte's mind, we did change to Krishna consciousness. This is the difficulties to move them forward, because they think now it's fine, it's perfect.
I'm chanting my rounds now regularly. I get up in the morning regularly. I go to Mangalartik regularly. You know, I'm hearing, you know, either temple or some regularly. I'm hearing some lectures like that. I'm taking a shot. I'm offering, you know, I'm cooking vegetarian offering. And, you know, the pictures on the wall are Krishna. It's like, we're done.
Yeah.
So then the idea that it actually is about the attitude, and these are just assistants too, that's what becomes the difficulty. So they can't tell the difference between the situation and the applique and the attitude. That's why in Sambandha you have Sankarshan and Aniruddha. I mean Sankarshan and Prajumna. So Prajumna is the attitude they have. So they'll get the Sankarshan aspects, but the attitude is not. Because the attitude, Prajumna is what's connected to Aniruddha, the goal. And it's with that, then when you apply it, then it becomes perfect. Because otherwise you have the knowledge, and then you apply it, you'll get a particular result. But if you have the right attitude, then that result will give a different experience. So it doesn't give the same experience. So that's why then after 3-4 years, that either they move forward in this and understand what you saw, the natural form of bhakti?
Swarup
Siddha Bhakti. Then they'll create their own religious kind of thing and go off into, you know, management is supreme or GBC is supreme or we're just being natural, you know, like that. We're just Westerners, you know, we're not fanatic, you know. They'll create something. So that's why then it's so important that the association of the Mandivas, you go through and get beyond that. Otherwise, then it's a problem.
Yeah.
Because what I could say is, well, one is preaching, and so that makes you a madhyama. We're acting in the position like a madhyama, just like we do the activities of the uttama bhaktas. But it doesn't make us an uttama consciousness. So therefore, within the Samkirtan mission, everybody, kanista, madhyama, uttam, does the activities of a madhyama. Like that. So that is the and that's properly situated. But then you're supposed to also bring the attitude, the consciousness, your awareness to that platform, same platform. So it's just a natural thing. But the glory is by chanting Hare Krishna associated devotees, you will advance despite, it just may be slower. So the point is you will get there. It's just a matter of how long. Like that. Because if at any point they just surrender, it doesn't matter what's happened before. Because surrender is the real thing. So even if they spent a whole life, you know, not being very serious, but if at one point they surrender, it's done. Like that. That's the beauty of it. But why waste your own time? Why waste everybody else's time when everybody could be moving forward more dynamically? So that's the... So,
yeah.
You know, it's just like, what do you call it? It's just, it's balance. You know, it's just like I've noticed that... like when you're teaching cooking, depending on the person's values, he's going to catch that aspect of it. Like I remember once, it was back in the 90s, at Madhu Mangal, you know, Madhu's Bakery?
Yeah.
Yeah. So when he was, I think he was like 14 in school, and he liked to cook, you know, as now is evident, you know, that's his occupation, so. And so we were cooking dal, and he said, I want to cook Russian dal. Like that. Okay, what's Russian doll?
That's the first question.
Yeah, what's Russian doll? That was our question. For the Russians, that's also the question. What do you mean, Russian doll? So, he said, no, they put some yogurt. Okay, so how much yogurt? And so, for the amount of doll we were cooking for 25 people, he put 2 liters of yogurt. So now, it's way over. But the point is, as a kid, you know, he would have seen it as younger. And seeing it, it always gets bigger than what it is. So they probably put in like 100 grams or something. You know, just to kind of give a little color. You don't have tomatoes, so you put in a little bit. You know, a Bengali cooker will also use a little yogurt. You know, because if you don't have tomatoes, you use some yogurt. It gives that touch of sour that you need. You know, so you put some lemon in dal, you put a little tomato in dal, you put dhanyapata in dal, anything that creates that little bit of sour. You know, even some amchur or something. But... you know, he saw that, he was so impressed. So in his mind, it was like, you know, this much, you know, and so that compares to 2 liters, you know. And so we were trying it just wasn't working, you know, and so like that. So, you know, we tried it a few times, but that kind of dropped it. But, so like that is that you see something you like and you'll really overdo it. So there's some aspect they like, you know, like the manner, they take that and overdo it, or the knowledge, you know, like the devotees that get into the academic kind of thing, and oh, they overdo that. If you don't have the knowledge, then you're nothing, and that, or the ones who are renounced, then it's totally over into that, you know, whatever it is. Oh, it's just following all the rules strictly, and it's just that, you know. So whatever it is, then the tendency is to overbalance things. But if you're steady at it, keep good association, then eventually it will balance and it will straighten out. That's the glory of it, because it's the natural position. So like what you were mentioning, the point is they don't see that the natural position is devotional service. That's the nature. The soul, they take it that you have to do something on top of this. It's the external form that makes it Krishna conscious. See, let's say we take a smarta. If they become a devotee, their lifestyle doesn't change at all. He's like zero. The only difference is, you know, a few of the deities on the altar might be, you know, put in the closet like that. You know, at the next maha cleaning, while, you know, how you say, grandma's out visiting one of the other relatives. Yeah. You know, so, but other than that, nothing will change in your life. So then for them, the understanding is the change in consciousness. But if one's coming from a V-dharmic background, then practically everything in your life has to change just to bring it up to a human platform. So then we take it that that's what makes devotional service, and then that becomes the point of hard preaching means you're pushing that. And so they're not actually preaching actual Krishna consciousness. So?
Yeah. Yesterday we were reading in Kapil Gita, Srila Prabhupada gives a beautiful comment, and then he says that indirect has its value when it's connected to the direct.
Yes.
Otherwise, without that connection,
yes,
it's just it doesn't have any value.
Yeah, exactly. So being able to tell the difference between direct and indirect, yeah. I mean that's right in the first verse of Bhagavatam. Being able to tell, you know, that what is the truth from, I mean, what is it, spiritual from material.
The truth distinguished from the truth.
Yes. Yes. So you get that balance. That's the thing. You can tell that. So we see is that that's been coming. That's always been there, but it becomes more pointed. You know, from the seventh canto. Mm-hmm. Then we see 11th canto. That's just drilling that point. And then Chaitanya Charitamrita is just taking it on the platform that you understand that point. You're functioning from that. But if you can't tell the difference, so we see here is that we can appreciate the difference here, and the, you know, between the Shanta Bhakta and the Jnani, even though they're living the same lifestyle. So that means in Tapaloka, you could have Shanta Bhaktas and you could have Jnanis. But the lifestyle is the same. And they don't have a problem talking about the Lord. It's just the one is we're talking about spiritual subject matter, or we're talking because we have a taste in talking about the Lord. So to be able to see that, and then as because we're going from the, remember the before, the point was made was that the Shanta Ras is in its own category, and the four higher because of their possession, they're the actual, you know, you could say the dynamic rasas. It's rasa, but these are dynamics, so you call it, you know, it's just like, and it, you know, you have something that is, it's in that category, but then something more dynamic, you'll say, yes, this is actually the main thing, because these things will be there, but it's the other four rasas have that and more. So that's the difference, is they all five have that spiritual platform, but the four higher upper rasas, then they have that dynamic point because of that possession. So they're in their own category. Then he takes it to the point of saying that the first two are assistance to the higher three. So then you see even that there's something there, even though there is the aspect of servitorship, that's still going to be subservient to the friendship, parental, and conjugal, because that is Krishna's lifestyle of those three. So in other words, he is God, and people work with him as God, so therefore, Vaikuntha, therefore you have that lifestyle. You know, and so it's there because you have the devotees that are there. But we see in Krishna Loka, then those three higher rasas, they're the prominent, and the other two are assisting. They're never the prominent rasa. There may be a pastime where somebody comes out and says, but it's not the general. Somebody says, and even then, even in Vaikuntha, it's still there but hidden, is that everybody's serving Lakshmi in Vaikuntha. And Lakshmi's in the conjugal rasa. So you don't have parental, you don't have friendship because he's God. And so then the servitorship and the shanta are serving that conjugal relationship, but it's so formalized they don't really bring out that aspect. It's still there, but it's so formalized you don't really see it. Yeah, so that's why then, you know, bringing it out, we're seeing, one, we're discussing it as it is, but two, then you can see in the context of that previous point how it's in its own category, and then the other four in another category. Like that. Okay, 3.1.27. An example of glancing at the tip of the nose. Right now we'll go through the Anubhavas. This sage in front of us walks about while glancing at the tip of his nose, while raising and lowering his head. By this it appears that the Lord has entered into a steady heart. Srila Prabhupada. Regarding concentration of the eyesight on the tip of the nose, there is a statement in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by a devotee who observed this being performed by a yogi. He remarked, this great yogi is concentrating his eyesight on the tip of his nose, and from this it appears that he has already realized the eternal form of the Lord within himself. Right? Because the whole idea when you're concentrated like that is that then the attention moves back. You can see it's now your attention's out. You move it to the tip of your nose, your attention actually moves back. You can just feel. That's it. So that they're always doing that, it means you can do it as a practice, but he's saying this yogi's always doing this. That means he's always absorbed in the Lord. So he's always absorbed in the Lord. He's going to see it that way.
With the eyes half closed.
That also could be. It seems that if you're doing a meditation, it's like that. But it says staring at the tip of the nose specifically. I think if you're sitting down in that, but if you're walking around, then they would probably not half close their eyes.
Also depends where you're from.
But also, how far you can see forward depends upon.
That's my point.
So that's why.
If you're Italian, if you're Italian, meditation can be pretty deep. If you're Jewish, it gets really intense.
Yes, so it's that. But also, you can see everything. You're staring at the top of your nose, it's like, you see everything, because the nose is out here. Yeah, so the pygmies really have a problem, right? Srila Jiva Goswami. This verse describes a sage in the position of Atmarama. Raising and lowering the head is a special anubhava for this type of person. He can possibly relish the qualities of Lord. This is understood from the following verse. All different varieties of Atmaramas, those who take pleasure in Atma, or spirit, self, especially those established on the path of self-realization, though freed from all kinds of material bondage, desire to render unalloyed devotional service unto the personality of Godhead. This means that the Lord possesses transcendental qualities and therefore can attract everyone, including liberated souls. Right? So that's the whole point, is that they're pointing out that they're absorbed in the Lord. The Shanta Bhakta is absorbed in the Lord. And so one of the symptoms is his staring at the tip of his nose. Because then that means you're going to be meditating. But, So, yes.
At the end of Madhya Lila, Mahaprabhu gives the 64 explanations of Atmarama verse. And it's kind of, if we don't understand, the whole Gaudiya Siddhanta, it's kind of out of place, because it's right. I mean, he completes with the, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he completes with the overview of the Madhya Lila. But then Madhya Lila is all the conversations are in there, starting with Ramananda Rai, and then. But at the end, he gives that to Sanatana Goswami. He explains it, 64, and he could have gone more, but he says, that's enough. So this is very important, and Mahaprabhu basically says that anybody can worship Krishna. That's his conclusion after explaining this Atmarama verse.
Yes.
Which is like essential verse.
Yes, because it's the spiritual platform. Everybody, every soul is from the spirit. There's sat, chit, and anand. So sat is their nature, to be situated there. And then there's the chit and ananda. So it's just a matter of what is that variety of chit, that variety of ananda that you're involved in. So the shanta will have this, and then you'll see the other rasas, and they have other aspects. So you've explained everything. Now situate yourself there. So therefore, everybody can, like you're saying, everybody can therefore attain that position. Otherwise, you say, I can't get to that level. No, everybody can attain. Yeah. 3.1.28. The Shita and other anubhavas that the Shanta Bhakta shares with the dasas and others are yawning, stretching the body, giving instructions to the devotees, offer obeisance to the Lord, and reciting praises to the Lord. So then these are the ones that are common. So these ones that I mentioned before, those are specific for them. And then other ones, they may have others that will be common with others. 3.1.29. O Yogendra, certainly the... Yeah, so in other words, all these other anubhavas that were given in 3.1.24 to 26... So, he explained, and he said an example, like that is like staring at the tip of the nose. Then all those others, they indicate that he's absorbed in the Lord. Otherwise, why would he be doing that? Right. Now, how would he see everybody equally unless he's absorbed in the Lord? So you see, that's the one that's more obvious. Then he goes into the yawning and all these others. Oh, Yogendra, certainly the sun of Baba must have risen in the sky of your heart, for your lotus mouth is now blossoming with a yawn. 3.130, Satvika Bhavas. In Shantaras, so you won't get into Soma's definition here because it will come up more in the other rasas and then it will have its natural, you know, the uniqueness of that. Here it doesn't have as much the situation and everything because it's a neutral state. In Shantaras, all the Satvika Bhavas, such as standing of the hair on end, perspiration shaking the body occur. However, fainting, pralaya, does not occur because of that point of always being in knowledge, so they never faint. So they're always there. So everything will be there except fainting. But you'll see fainting in other rasas. Like that. Because of the... Why does it come about? Because of the attachment. And when there's that loss, that seeming loss, then that will cause... The intensity will cause fainting. Well, there's no possession, so therefore there's no... You can't lose the Lord. He's everywhere. Like that. So everything but fainting. Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes the devotee in Shantaras yawns, stretches his limbs, instructs on devotional service, offers respectful obeisances unto the form of the Lord, offers nice prayers to the Lord, and has a desire to give direct service to his body. These are some of the common symptoms of the devotee who is situated in neutrality. One devotee, after observing the yawning of another devotee, addressed him thus, "My dear mystic, I think that within your heart there is some ecstatic devotional love which is causing you to yawn." Okay. Then we're going to couple this with the next one. It is sometimes found that devotee of Shantaras falls down on the ground. Right? So therefore, when you have Bhagavatam class, they're so absorbed like that, then you see that they're yawning in a static emotion and falling on the ground. Yes. So these are practical, you know, we've all seen it. His hairs stand up on his body and he trembles all over. In this way, different symptoms of ecstatic trance are exhibited automatically by such devotees. They just come up because they're always absorbed in the Lord. They automatically come up.
I saw one time in the parish temple, and Bhagavan would give class before he became a guru. And he gives a Bhagavan class in English, and he had one devotee sitting next to him translating in French, and the translator kept falling asleep. So he told him to stand up to keep doing the translation. So he stood up to translate. He fell asleep over him.
Really just fell right on top of him.
He collapsed onto the speaker.
So why did he do that? What did Bhagavan Prabhu do that?
You know, he just, get out of here.
Oh, that is classic.
He was known for falling asleep all the time. In front of the deities, he was just like, wow.
Wow, that's
great yogi.
Yeah, that's so we can see it's the static emotions. You know, so he's absorbed in Bhagavatam so much. Yeah, now that's really good. that's a classic.
Yeah.
Situation. Okay. To the Jiva Goswami. For those in Shantaras, the behavior on obtaining samadhi in the form of the Lord and in realizing the formless Brahman have some characteristics of pralaya, but there is no falling on the ground. That's what's said that this verse, there is no pralaya. Right? So there may be some characteristics of it. They become so absorbed, they may be bewildered, but it won't go so far, it won't have the intensity that they'll fall on the ground. Footnote 7. In pralaya, there is non-functioning of action and knowledge senses and symptoms such as falling on the ground. This is described in 2.358. So that means there may be some non-functioning of action and knowledge senses, but it won't go to the intensity that they'll fall on the ground. You know, just like you see is that, yeah, just like death, maybe just they're stunned. Like that, they can't fall. You know, that pralaya, because pralaya can go all the way to that level. 3.131, hair standing on end. The sound of the Panchajanya, like you see in the Bhagavatam, then it talks about that intensity. And then, but it's then Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, you know, mentioned the point that no, nobody died. It just means that that material consciousness, any residue, that fragrance that was there, is gone now. So that previous thing is gone. So that's like Brahma said, he gave up that body. It means it was a subtle mental hair standing on end. The sound of the Panchajanya conch agitated the hearts of the yogis living in the mountain caves. It broke their samadhi and made their hairs stand on end. Srila Prabhupada, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is stated that when Lord Krishna was blowing his conch shell known as Panchajanya, many great sages who were living in the caves of the mountains immediately reacted. Being awakened from the trance of meditation, they immediately saw that the hairs of the body were standing. Sometimes devotees in Shanta Ras become stunned, peaceful, jubilant, deliberate, reflective, anxious, dexterous, and argumentative. These symptoms indicate continuous ecstasy or established emotion. Because it's continuous, not just... That would be another point is here, that point of continuous ecstasy. Because for us, now and again, maybe you get some experience. You know, any devotee, the intensity is there, you know, nice kirtan or association, there may be something. But it's not continuous. But you see, is that with those situated on the transcendental platform, then it's continuous. Yeah? 3.1.32. In the bodies of the yogis devoid of false identity, the sattvika bhava is manifest as jwalita, but not dipta. Footnote 8. The jwalita stage of sattvika bhavas occurs when two or three sattvika bhavas appear at once. But with difficulty, they can be concealed. In the dipta stage, three, four, five bhavas appear and cannot be concealed. So they just get to the jwalita. And I think there's also the, what is it before that, dumya, or dumna, or whatever it is, just the smoking. But it won't get to so when there's one, you'll get the one. When there's two or three, but then when it gets more than that, then it can't be concealed. Srila Jiva Goswami. This jwalita manifestation will correspond to the strength of the relationship with the Lord. Right, so how much is there, and what is the strength of the relationship with the Lord? Srila 3.1.33. In Shantaras, the Santri Bhavas of Nirveda, self-disgust, Driti, steadiness, Harsha, joy, Mati, finding meaning through scriptural reference. Smriti, remembrance, Vishada, remorse, Outsukya, impatience, Avega, confusion of the mind, Vitarka, conjecture, and others appear. So you see there's a very specific kind of mood and all that that matches that lifestyle that they're living. Yes.
Interesting that in the culturally in South India, when somebody acts without any foolishly, then he says that you don't have mati. They're referring that your mind is not working, but they use the word mati. It means it's not working in context of Vedic rules.
Okay. And the mati is which one here?
Finding meaning through
scriptural reference. Oh, okay, mati. Finding meaning through scriptural reference. So there's no mati means you're not looking at it. So then maybe that's it. Now we have a Sanskrit name for that religious process we were talking before. Amati. Amati Dharma.
Amati.
The religion of not finding meaning through scriptural reference.
Hebrew name for Matthew is Mati.
For which?
Matthew.
Matthew.
Matthew is Mati. The original Hebrew name is Mati.
But not Matthew. No. Oh, Mati. That's far out.
Still exists.
But people have the name Mati.
Yeah, Mati.
That's far out. How did it turn into Matthew?
Who knows?
I always wondered how, in a specific time, all the biblical names turning into European names.
Yeah.
You know, Paul. I mean, where did you get Paul from? John. Well, suddenly, overnight, everybody's got like some new names which are not biblical.
I don't know what that was. So, what was the original name then of Peter?
Yeah, Peter, Paul, Mary.
So the Hebrew would be different from that.
Yeah, in Hebrew you have Esther, David, Yaakov.
No.
You don't have all these Christian names.
No Peter, no John. No Peter, no John. Mary would be Miriam.
Miriam.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, okay. So they just translated.
Yes, I think so.
Maybe it's from Bible to Greek or something.
Yeah, Greek, Latin.
Greek, Latin.
Sometimes, when they brought it across. Because sometimes you see is that when you bring even those names into a regional language, it changes into the local language.
Yeah, first how you pronounce
that,
then
the spelling, it just turns into something else.
Yeah,
okay, so maybe, through the Greek. And so that would naturally work nicely with the European Christian, you know, thing, rather as opposed to the Judaic Christian, in that they would have been founded very nice, comfortably in the Latin and Greek. Because Paul was totally into, you know, Latin culture and Greek philosophy. So it would have been very, you know, very politically correct to follow that. That's interesting. I didn't realize that.
Even Jesus is not an original name.
Okay.
You sure?
Exactly. So it's like that one scene in what do you call it? Mel Brooks, and then he came in as a painter for they're having dinner, and he came in to paint, you know, like that, and then. You know, somebody says something, and he goes, Jesus, and then Jesus says, yes. What? Yes? What? And then he goes, Jesus, and then, yes? I just keep going on like that for a while.
I mean, it's even amazing how, you know, people say that the word which is mostly used in any language is God. Right? But people say, gosh.
Yeah.
They never want to say directly to Jesus, but sheesh.
Yes, or that.
Sheesh. But they say, gee, man.
Golly, gee whiz.
Gee whiz.
Yeah. Okay, so it's from that principle of not taking the Lord's name in vain.
That's right, not taking the Lord's name in vain.
In my childhood, whatever names I heard was this Hebrew, not once Peter and all this.
Okay, yeah. So because I'm not sure Matthew's down south, no?
Somebody went there.
Isn't it? Who's in Madras? There's Samadhi.
Madras, Madrasian.
It's one of the 12 apostles.
In Madras?
Yeah. They came across there and preached down there. So there's a form of Christianity that goes on in south that you don't have anywhere else in the world.
I was thinking these names, Mariam and all, these are like South Indian version of the names.
Oh. No, this is just the original. Okay, so Miriam. That was Abraham's wife was Miriam,
no? No, Sarah.
So that was Sarah. So who was Miriam?
So many
Miriams. Okay. Cool.
Miriam was Moses' second wife.
Yeah, because this.
The secretary.
The wife at home and the wife at the office. Okay.
Yes, like a face he makes.
We need to turn it down?
No, we need more. Otherwise, our brain goes mundane.
Maybe we should push the. Push that button. The one just below the main one. You have to get close.
It's going to be on your head.
No, it'll just be a little slow.
A little more. Oh, wow.
Yeah, until it gets brings the temperature.
So
yeah. No, it doesn't blow on me. So the curtains move. That's why I sit here.
Okay.
So the continuous ecstasy, like the, so the devotee will be sometimes there. That's why they're not in the stage of bhava. Bhava means it's continuous ecstasy. Right? So before that, there may be ecstatic symptoms, but they'll just come up and go away. So then it'll just be on the platform, on whatever platform we're on. 3132, okay, we did that. Dipta, then 3133. Inshanta, oh, no, we did that
before.
3134. Nirveda, self-disgust. Though Krishna, Paramatma, the form of constant bliss, lives and resides in Dwarka, I am so unfortunate. Thinking myself an Atmarama, I have wasted so much time. Srila Prabhupada. So he's feeling disgust with himself. He says, he's thinking I'm myself an Atmarama, but then the point is Atmarama, you're absorbed in the Supreme Self. The Supreme Self is living in Dwarka, and he's not meditating, not absorbed in him, or not serving him, so he's feeling that self-disgust.
Who is speaking there?
It just says, it doesn't say, it just says once a great realized sage was lamenting that the Supreme Lord Krishna was living in Dwarka, but he was unable to take advantage of seeing him. After thinking this, the sage immediately became stunned. He was thinking that he was simply wasting his time. In other words, the sage lamented because the Supreme Personality of Godhead was personally present, but he still could not take advantage of this because of his meditation. Because he's just attached to his meditation doing that, so he can't go to Dwarka and do all these things. And he's feeling that, you know, it's a weakness in his own position. But you see, it because of that absorption, it produces transcendental ecstasy. Yes.
Nowadays we have this phenomena connected to this point, is that sometimes we feel more comfortable to hear a recording than the, you know, going for the real life Krishna consciousness, sangha.
Yes, yes.
So is this connected?
Not necessarily. It might have that element, but he's seeing that fault in himself, though that may not be actually a fault. He's just so absorbed in the Lord that he's absorbed there, but then he thinks, you know, I should be there. But then in thinking he should be there, he's absorbed in the Lord, and he's in his meditation. For him, that's just his position, because it says a great realized sage. Mm. For us, one devotee once explained to me about that phenomenon, that by sitting at home, means you don't have the going to the temple, coming back from the temple, and doing all the different things. While the class is going on, you can prepare breakfast, eat breakfast, and do the whole thing. So it is a matter of sangha, but it's just a matter of what sangha. You know, so how you say, toast sangha is, you know, has a very important aspect to your, to one's, you say?
Sadhana.
Yes, sadhana. So then, yes. So then these things go. That could be there, or someone just, you know, has a problem with crowds. So then it would be that kind of aspect, because you see those who are more renounced, they don't like crowds and stuff like that. But you see, is that's why when it goes farther forward, then they don't care for any of these things. And when they get so absorbed, they're so absorbed in the Lord, they don't care. But then wherever they are, they're connected with the Lord. But then you see the other rasas, because they just move forward. Especially in Braj, you know, when you come down into Vaikuntha, then there'll be more formality. But now and again, you see they break that formality, but it's more rare. But in Braj, it's just steady. But it may have a reflected kind of influence, but it's not necessarily that it's necessarily, if it's somebody who you see is very nicely situated in devotional service, very advanced in devotional service, then maybe not going in this and that because they get distracted and all and stuff like that. You know, it's like, remember, I heard devotees tell me about, you know, senior devotees going for darshan in the morning, especially when Vrindavan, is that they never get to see the deities. You know, it's just like, okay, you come in the main door, everyone's there, they talk, so you never actually get down to the deities, you never get into the courtyard, you get stuck at where the book tables are, or maybe you get to the courtyard and that's it. Or if you come in the side door, you get stuck there and don't even get darshan to the deities, because they catch you, you know, just before you get to the deities. You know, so then, you know, because they want to talk and this and that and do all the things. And so, you know, so sometimes they may not be inclined to go during festivals. You know, when it's regular, then they'll go because they can go and have darshan and everything. And the other times, then they, you know, it's not possible. So that might be an indication like this. Kind of.
I've always wondered how devotees like Hari Sarprabhu and Srila Kirti Prabhu managed with their sadhana when traveling to Prabhupada. So I asked Srila Kirti, I think a couple of years ago, I said, how do you manage with your sadhana, japa, morning Prabhupada? And he said something interesting. He said, Prabhupada didn't make it, you know, official, he said, but he said a devotee should at least rise early in the morning and do something spiritual.
Yes. Yes. And so the Tamil program makes sure, otherwise what are you going to do?
Yeah. So he said, as long as you're up early, ready to do spiritual, it's part of your sadhana.
Because when you're traveling, you can't go to the temple. If you're in a temple, then they can go. But, you know, it's like the Sankirtan boys are out on the roads. So.
Yeah.
You know, so you get up early, take a bath, chant your Gayatri, yeah, eat the leftover halava, so all the natural points of sadhana, right? You know, so spiritual, right?
It's a rag sadhana. Hmm? Raganuga sadhana.
Yes, this is spontaneous. You don't even have to tell them.
That's the first thing I did when I joined temple. Yeah. Eat the Mangal Gopushta.
Yeah, of course. Of course. You have to know your priorities. The Gurukul boys that, you know, halfway through Mangalarti go upstairs. No, actually, was it halfway through Mangalarti or halfway through Tulsi Puja? I think it's through Tulsi Puja. They go upstairs and avail themselves to Mangal Bog sweets. And some of them to the leftover puri and sabji from the guest house. Because it was just sitting there, nobody cared, so they go up and eat that. Okay. Stai Baba. In Shantaras, the Stai Baba is Shantarati. It has two types, Sama, ordinary, and Sandara, intense. Maybe that's where that name comes from. Yeah, because generally they are quite intense. Right? Like Shilas are always very unique and different. And Sandras are always quite... Okay. Sama Shantirati. When I playfully revealed myself to the yogi absorbed in Sampragyata Samadhi, his body began to shake to the extreme. Srila Prabhupada. When a mystic is transcendental to all kinds of mental concoctions and is situated in Brahman, this state is called trance, beyond the influence of the material conception of life. In that stage, when one hears about the transcendental pastimes of the Lord, there may be shivering of the body. Srila Jiva Goswami. This is a statement of the Lord. That state of samadhi in which one realizes the form of Brahman with no functioning of the mind is called asam pragyata samadhi. So where the mind's not functioning and thinking and accepting and rejecting, it's just focused, you know, just smoothly on the Lord, you know, just like the example of the honey. When you pour the honey, it comes out of the mouth of the jar very wide and immediately goes into a very fine point. You know, you hold it up really high where it's actually touching on the you know, plate or bowl, is very fine like that. So just like that, it's just focus. There's no function.
These terms are used in Buddhist meditation.
They also
some
use this. Okay. Yeah. 3137. Sandra Shanta Rati. In Nirvikalpa Samadhi, after destroying all ignorance, I experienced complete bliss. But when I saw Krishna directly, the bliss became thousands of times more concentrated. Srila Jiva Goswami. The superiority of the deep bliss in realizing the Lord over the previous realization as a jnani, which was temporary, is made clear with a personal statement. When Krishna himself directly appeared, Yada Vendre Sakshat Jate, the bliss, Sa Anandaha, multiplied in intensity by millions of times, because of realizing his form, qualities, and pastimes. Footnote 9. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in Jagadharma, Vrajana, how many kinds of Shantarati are there? Goswami, Shantarati is the Stai Bhav in Shantarasa and is of two varieties, Sama, equipoise, and Shandara, concentrated. Here it has a long A, Shandara. In Asampragyata Samadhi, when there is no longer any connection with mundane pleasure, and the yogi perceives the Spurti, manifestation of Supreme Lord within his heart, the body registers symptoms such as Harsha, smiling, kama, desire, and Romancha, or repulation. This is how Samanta Rati is manifested. In Nirvikalpa Samadhi, one is completely free from all avidya, nescience, and dualism. When the devotee sees the Supreme Lord face to face in this state of Samadhi, he experiences ineffable bliss known as Sandrananda, the hallmark of Sandra Shantarati. Well, here it has none. It's always from that Ananda, so it got mixed up.
Also mine.
Okay, so there's no connection with mundane pleasure. But then when all avidya nescience is removed, so in ones before that, then you get one, it'll be the Sama. That your no connection, there's no longer any connection with mundane pleasure, but it doesn't mean that it won't come back. That's why he says it's temporary. You know, it may be during that time of meditation, but after that he may not be in that. But in that, because he's absorbed in the Lord, then seeing the Lord, then it gives all kinds of transcendental symptoms. But then when it's in this sandra, then there is no more avidya, nescience of dualism. He's completely beyond, so that the current assurance may completely destroy. So then now he's on that farther side. But you see in both of these, and then they're both these. Yeah? Yes.
Also, the long A is sometimes used to represent a plurality.
Oh, okay. So Sandra means all that group.
Sometimes.
Sama, equipoise, and Sandra. Okay, because here Sama and Sandra without, but here he puts Sama, is equipoise, and Sandra, so they're all pointing the whole group. Okay. That makes sense. 3.1.38. There are two types of Shantarasa. Paroksha, not visible, and Sakshatkara, visible. 3.1.39. So, so many varieties within this one itself. Right? 3.1.39. Hidden. The Lord is not presently visible. O Lord of the sages, tell me if my great austerities and my long practice of Astanga Yoga will bear fruit. Will that Para Brahman in human form with the complexion of a new rain cloud ever appear before me and bring astonishment to my eyes? Srila Prabhupada, when a Brahman realized devotee has come to the stage of steady trance, comes into contact with the eternal form of Krishna, his transcendental pleasure increases millions of times. One great sage once inquired from another, my dear friend, do you think that after I perfect the Eightfold Yoga's performance, I shall be able to see the eternal form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? This inquiry from the sage is an instance of inquisitiveness in a devotee situated in the neutral stage of devotional service. So, paroksha is not seeing the Lord. It means in meditation they're seeing, but they're wanting to see also, you know, just through the senses. 3.1.40. Another example. Now that I remember that effulgence that conquers the complexion of a new rain cloud, which I saw at Kurukshetra at the time of the eclipse of the sun, my restless mind no longer experiences bliss in the impersonal Brahman as it did previously. 3.1.41. Seeing the Lord. O Bhagavan, because you are filled with more bliss than the Brahman, being the Supreme Soul, I have experienced intense bliss from seeing you directly. What is the necessity of realizing the impersonal Brahman? So now this is seeing the Lord and then. When Lord Krishna, along with his elder brother Balaram and sister Subhadra, came to Kurukshetra, in a chariot on the occasion of solar eclipse. Many mystic yogis also came. That could also explain why the name, the feminine name, has that aspect of the length to it, because it always means with, right? Because, you know, they're always going to be with people, with somebody. With them. When these mystic yogis saw Lord Krishna and Balaram, they explained that now they had seen the excellent bodily feature of the bodily effulgence of the Lord. They had almost forgotten the pleasure derived from a personal Brahman realization. In this connection, one of the mystics approached Krishna and said, "My dear Lord, you are always full with transcendental bliss, excelling all other scriptural positions. And so, simply by seeing you from a distance, I have come to the conclusion that there's no need of my being situated in the transcendental bliss of the impersonal Brahman." Srila Jiva Goswami. O Bhagavan, O person endowed with infinite qualities and surpassing all others, because I've experienced the highest bliss on directly meeting you, what is the additional necessity of realizing Brahman, the great form of impersonal bliss, Brahma Bhuta? Well, that Brahman without qualities is the ultimate form of all things, since it is the most excellent of all things. From directly realizing that Brahman, one will experience the greatest pleasure. What can be accomplished by realizing something endowed with qualities? So the doubt comes up. Brahman may be the Atma Sarup of all things, but Bhagavan, because he is superior to Brahman, because he is the supreme Atma, Paramatmataya, has more bliss, Ati me durat. This is understood from Bhagavad Gita, Upanishad. Brahmano hi pratishtaham. I am the basis of Brahman, as well as Sukadeva has said. You should know Krishna to be the original soul of all living entities, for the benefit of the whole universe. He has, out of his causeless mercy, appeared as an ordinary human being. He has done this by his strength of his internal potency, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.55. So we see is that you have the general, and then you have that completely free from all entanglement, like that. And so then going further, then you have whether the Lord is present, you know, or you're seeing the Lord directly. So the point is that, yeah. So there's going to be me seeing the Lord directly is going to be an even greater than just having, you know, not seeing and meditating. That has its own special uniqueness. Otherwise, what's the meaning of associating with the Lord? If just by thinking about, then there's enough. So they won't feel separation, but we see the intensity changes. Yeah. So that's why there's always the idea of being with the Lord. And so that's why you see in Shantaras, there is sometimes that you have one of the qualities beyond and above. They want to do service to the Lord. They want to come see the Lord do service. So those with that aspect of Shantarati, then they want to. But others, then they're able to meditate, so maybe he's the Sama, you know, Shantarati. So therefore, that's why he just sits there and he feels bad at why isn't he going and seeing, because then that's that other aspect. Yeah?
Also, like, one of their qualities is they desire liberation, and out of the topmost is Samipya. Samipya is to be in close connection.
In close connection. Okay, yes, because they don't necessarily have the same form.
Mm.
I think when Gopal, not Gopal Bhatt, Gopal Gopakumar, then when he was there at the gate, because I think they wouldn't let him in till a certain time, so he's just sitting there. And then when everybody came, when the gate was open, then all these different forms came. So some had the regular form, but some, you know, had like the Kanara kind of forms, you know, monkey heads and all kinds of different forms and all that. So they may be the Shanta Bhaktas. Like that, because it's not about having the same form as the Lord. I mean, they may be dasi also, but then they don't have the. It's not sarupya, like you have the. Is it getting too much of it? Yeah. Okay. Push the button again. That's the second one. That one. That. Yeah. Yes.
In the position of Shukadeva Goswami Maharaj Parikshit, it's mentioned that they both attain perfection, one by hearing, the other one by reciting. But it doesn't say in which rasa they attain perfection.
No, because perfection, in this case, when they use the word perfection, that means you attain the transcendental position. You come to the Brahma Buddha platform.
Right.
That's there. Then, taking that further, where that goes on further, then into prema, then what is the kind of prema? That's another aspect. But perfection, that's why you sometimes see when they're talking about this aspect of just the positions. And then they say perfection. So by this you attain perfection. Like by performing your sadhana, you'll attain perfection. Because perfection means being on the platform of bhava.
Right.
And then from bhava, that gets to prema. So all sadhana will bring you to it. Means bona fide sadhana, its purpose is to get to perfection or bhava. And then bhava, its purpose is to get you to prema. So the point is that by hearing and chanting, by any of the, you will attain to that perfection, that position of bhava. Then the associates, the Lord's, eternal associates, then you'll get to prema. So, yeah, no, it doesn't specifically say that. Because that's not what's important here. Because when you're having a specific discussion, everything's connected to any one point. Because it's all Krishna, so you can start from any point and go to any other. But if you're trying to bring out a particular theme or that, even though it could go off into other areas, you don't, because it'll distract. Like Sukadeva Goswami could have talked so much detail about Radharani and Krishna that, but then he wouldn't have been able to ensure that he brought him to the point of self-realization. Because you see that whole 11th canto and first part of the 12th canto is being spoken.
Mm-hmm.
So that means even though you've spoken the Lord's pastimes, you have to understand how to use that. Mm-hmm. You've already learned how to be always absorbed in Krishna, but how to not be distracted like that. And then how to tell the difference on a finer level. Because otherwise, we may not be able to tell the difference. So, like in Gita, you've given the middle six chapters. Then the last six chapters, they're explained what are the tools that you use to keep yourself on that platform so that you can perform karma, the buddhi yoga, absorbed in Krishna. These are all the different tools that are there, the things that you can use to be Krishna conscious, or the things that can distract you from Krishna consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So you only had 7 days. If they were just having a conversation and they could talk forever, then the Bhagavatam would have been a lot bigger. But as it is for us, 18,000 verses is plenty. Another example. One yogi, on hearing the sound of the king of conscience, Panchajanya, suddenly became full of joy. Tears flowed from his eyes, his hair stood on end, his head began to shake, his cloth fell to the ground, he could no longer maintain his vows. Seeing the Param Brahman with dark complexion in bliss, he showed disregard for the impersonal Brahman by his speech. Srila Prabhupada. When a great mystic yogi was once awakened from his meditative trance by hearing the vibration of Krishna's Panchajanya Kancha, the mystic became overpowered. So much so, in fact, he began to bash his head on the ground, and his eyes full of tears of ecstatic love. He violated all the rules and regulations of his yoga performances. Thus, he at once neglected the process of Brahman realization. Right, so he wasn't, sitting properly, looking in, doing all the things that you have to do in the breathing and controlling the breathing or stopping the breathing. He just was absorbed in ecstasy. So, Srila Jiva Goswami. Rudha drik ashru bihi means ashru bihi rudha drik. Eyes brimming with tears. Lina vrata means that he could no longer follow the rules he previously followed. Right? So now he could no longer just be absorbed in Brahman. He had to think of the Lord. 3.143. If Krishna is merciful to someone previously fixed in jnana, that Shanta Bhakta then becomes elevated in rati for Krishna. Srila Jiva Goswami. This verse speaks of the most excellent quality of Krishna, the son of Nanda, his extraordinary mercy. Uddhava means he will attain greater uchahi vahet rati for Krishna, the son of Nanda. Surpassing the Shanta rati, which he actually qualified for, he will experience a superior rati. appears that from Shanta you could either move forward, or it can be that in contact with the other ratis that you can experience something beyond your what you would experience in your own rati. Does that make sense?
Without changing.
Without changing, yeah. So it doesn't necessarily mean you're changing rati. It just means that you're surpassing. You're only qualified for this level of ecstatic emotion, but you get much more because of the association with someone. Like, let's say the cows are with Radha and Krishna and the gopis. So the ecstasy they'll feel there will be greater than when they're with cowherd boys. It will be greater than when they're just in the cowherd pen themselves and Krishna comes out to milk them. Yes.
Also, the Shantas and Dasya Bhaktas always act in connection with the other three, which is only in Braj.
Yes.
But among themselves, it's not much. Like the Shanta Bhaktas acting as subordinate to Dasyas, it's not much.
Yes, yes, true. Yeah. Well, there won't be Krishna. So much difference.
That's why only Krishna is mentioned.
Oh, okay. So it doesn't mention that with Vishnu. Yeah, yeah. Oh, interesting point. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have something? Oh, okay. Yeah, so that... so you can see all the fine divisions there. So why we're very specific about Braja Bhakti, you know, like that, because of the nature of it, the taste of it and all that. So it's a very scientific point. So, it's, you know, you can see it's just a natural choice. So we're given that as the highest, and then with time we appreciate that. So even if you don't, you just directly go to there, then it's fine. But if not, then we gradually, you know, through reading Nectar Devotion, now become convinced. Verse by verse. Okay. So,
thank you. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki. China Thai Gold.